All right, if you will turn to Exodus. Exodus 33. I'll give you the block that it's on. Exodus 33. We'll start reading in verse 18. Says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift in the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Let's pray. Father, I come before you this evening. As we've already prayed, I ask that you would just now bless the preaching of your word, help me to say the things that I should and nothing that I shouldn't. And I just pray that you would, that the intent and the meaning of the word of God will come forth. And so we just pray that you would meet with us here in this time and help us to put aside any distractions. And we ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen. You may be seated. So first, let's get one thing out of the way. It is a clift, not a cleft. The songbooks have not done us any justice, any help in keeping that straight in our minds. I thought it was a cleft. I actually went all the way through my message. I'm sitting there writing this on my computer. I had to do a find and replace everywhere that there was cleft. I had to replace it with clift. So I would say, hopefully, say the right thing. I may still mess it up, and if I do, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm going to show a picture up here, and this is just going to be up here during the message. And it's really just a visual aid to kind of help you understand as we move through the message. I'm going to kind of talk about the cleft in the rock. And so this is just kind of to help you. As most of you guys know, anytime I preach, I have some sort of visual aid. This time it literally is a visual aid. So I've held true to my tradition, I guess you could say. But the other day, Leroy and I were out walking in Cave Hollow Park, and we came up to this rock that you'll see on your left up here. And consequently, after a few minutes, we were out there kind of looking around and doing what we do. We always kind of play around in the park over there and do some things. And it started to rain, and so we sought shelter in the clift of the rock. There I go already. And as we sat under in that shelter in that rock. The Holy Spirit just kind of, I'm sitting there, I'm watching it raining, and the Holy Spirit just kind of reminded me of this passage where God hid Moses in the rock cleft. And the reason why he hid him there is because it wasn't safe for him to be outside of it while the glory of God passed by. And as we sat there and the rain fell, I got to thinking about the spiritual cleft that all who call upon his name enjoy. And then I considered as I sat there looking out from that clift in the rock, the things that the cliff that God has provided for us protects us from. And so tonight we're going to talk about the cliff in the rock. And if you'd like a title for this message, it is Stay in the Cliff. Now I really just kind of used this passage as a jumping off point. We'll refer back to it from time to time, but really we just kind of use it as a starting point. We're not going to delve deeply into this particular passage, but we're going to use it to make some application tonight. So the first thing that I want to point out about this cleft that is in Exodus 33 is the necessity of having a cleft. Now there are things that we need protection from in this life. If you look in verse 20 of our passage, it says, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. You see, Moses needed protection. And in this particular case, he was not capable of handling coming face to face with the glory of God. He just simply couldn't. And if we look in verse 22, we see how the Lord covered him. And it says in verse 22, "And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by." And so if you can kind of use your imagination tonight, I want you to kind of just think, which is part of the reason why I had this here. So imagine Moses, he's in this cleft in the rock, okay? And Moses has said back in verse 18, he says, "I want to see your glory." And God says, "You can't handle coming face to face with my glory." He says, "Well, I'm going to put you in this cleft." And so he puts him in this cleft, and God puts his hand over top of him, and he passes by. And then as God passes by, he lifts his hand up when it's finally safe for Moses. And he says, "This is what I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you a glimpse. This is what you can handle." You see, Moses thought that he could handle it. You know, there are things in this life we are not equipped to handle. And that is why God has cleft out a rock for us. And we're going to talk about some multiple cliffs, if you will, tonight. You know, Moses thought he could handle it. In verse 18, he said, "Show me your glory." He said, "I want to see all of it. Give me all your glory." Now, that doesn't seem like there's anything wrong with that request, right? I mean, for us to say, "Hey, I want to see the glory of God," is there anything wrong with requesting to see the glory of God? No. Nothing wrong with the request. The problem was he couldn't handle all of it, right? And sometimes we ask for things without really, truly knowing what it is that we're even asking for. And that's when the Lord steps in, and we'll kind of talk about this in a little bit, but God steps in, he says, "I know what you say you want, but this is what you need. This is what you can handle." 1 Corinthians 10:13, very familiar passage, right? It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." See, God's not going to allow us to get into a situation, he's not going to put us in a situation where it exceeds our capability to bear it. Now, parents, are what your children say they want always what they need? Well, that's a resounding no, right? I mean, children don't know what they need. They only know what they want. Moses, in this particular passage, he's just a child. He's a child of God, just like you and I. And he says, "Give it all to me, God. I want to see your glory. I want to experience your glory." And God says, no, you think you do, but let me tell you, any man who sees my face, he will die. Moses wanted to see all of God's glory. Matthew 6:8 says, Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what ye have need of before ye ask him." See, our Father in heaven knows what it is that we need. Just as you who are parents here, or you who are as children here, your parents know what you need, and us as parents, we know what our children need, what they can handle. You know, if a child comes up and you says, "Hey, tonight I really want ice cream for dinner. That's what I want. Give me all the ice cream, Dad." Well, that's probably not what they need. I won't say that I haven't had ice cream for dinner before, but I'm just saying that that's generally not what we need. So there's some things in this life that we need to be protected from. You know, Pastor's been talking about the battle of the worldviews. You see, we need protection from the prevailing winds of the world's views on the family, on the home, on gender, on morality, on politics. Ephesians 4:14 says this, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. So what we're going to talk about here in a minute, we're going to talk about this here in a minute, but God has a cleft for us, a place of protection when the wind of the world's doctrines seek to blow us off course of where God wants us to be. You know, we sing that song, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is what? sinking sand, right? So the first thing we're going to look at tonight in relationship to this clift is the safety of the cliff. The safety of the cliff. Now, how can we talk about God's protection and His provision without talking about the greatest provision that's ever been made for us? When God sent forth His Son to be the requisite sacrifice for you and I, to pay a debt that we couldn't pay and to bear the burden that we couldn't handle. If you think back before you got saved, you thought the things that this world had to offer were what you wanted. Just take a minute and think back. You know, before you got saved, you thought that success was what you really wanted. You thought that notoriety, that money, that big houses or big cars or whatever it happens to be, you thought, you know, that's what I need. That's what I want. But God, in His wisdom, knew that you and I couldn't handle the end state of those things. Which is why in Romans 6:23 it tells us what that end state is. Which is the wages of sin is what? Death, right? Eternal separation from God. And because of His love for us, He made provision in the shed blood of Christ to make a way, to make a clift for us to escape the coming death. And it reminds me of Exodus 12:13. The children of Israel were to go into their homes and to apply the blood to the side and the top post of their door. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. See, their clift was the blood of a lamb. Our clift is the blood of the lamb. 1 Peter 1:19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And I implore you here tonight that if you leave this life without having reconciled with God, you will hear some terrible words. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look in verse 22 of our passage. I want to point out something here. It says, And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. And there's an implied I here. And I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Notice who's doing the work here. It wasn't Moses. Now, the Bible doesn't really tell us how Moses got into the cleft. I don't know if all of a sudden just like that, he was like, whoa, I'm in the cleft. I don't know. It doesn't tell us. But it does tell us that God put him there. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, God, He says, I will put thee in the rock, I will cover thee, and I will do it with my hand. The protection that we enjoy in salvation isn't because we're such great people or that we're deserving of such protection. No, it's because of His work, His sacrifice, His blood. And see, there is safety in the cleft of salvation through faith in Christ. So there is safety in the cleft of salvation, but there's also safety in the cleft of the Word of God. See, as I was sitting in that cleft, looking out at the scenery and watching and listening to the rainfall, my thoughts were drawn to the way in which we step out from the cleft into the rain, into the storms, into the chaos, into the mess of this life and the world and its system sometimes. And we're prone to, we step out from that cleft, the cleft of the Word of God, and we involve ourselves in things that we shouldn't. We ignore the Word of God, and we step out from that cleft, and negative things happen in our lives. Amen? When you step out from the protection of the Word of God, you are looking for trouble, right? So we step out from the cliff and negative things happen. We do things things happen in our lives that are negative consequences. And then we question God, well, why did this happen to me, God? And I'm going to ask you to use your imagination again, because the Bible doesn't say that this is what God would do. But in my mind, I kind of imagine it like this, that someone steps out from the protection of the Word of God, and they reap the results of that, And they say, God, why did you let this happen to me? And God is standing up there and he's just shaking his head. And he says, I made you a cliff. It's right there. I showed you where it was. I made you the cliff. But you chose to step out from underneath it. This is on you, not on me. And we tend to do that sometimes. And nowhere is that better seen. This cleft is safety. Nowhere is it better seen than the safety that we have in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, God's commands are a cleft. Look back in Genesis 2. Familiar passage, but drives the point home. Genesis chapter 2, and look in verse 15. Says that the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Is there anything ambiguous about those words? Are they hard to understand? No. And so, but we can be kind of quick to judge Adam and Eve, can't we? And we say, well, you know, they had one rule to follow. How hard is that? I only had one rule to follow. But how often do we, knowing full well what this book says? Now, granted, we have more than one rule, but we have this book, right? We have this book. We know what its commandments say. But having this book and fully knowing full well what it says, knowing about the protections that following its commandments affords, yet we, like them, step out from the cliff that is God's word, and we do what we want anyways. And then we have the audacity to ask God why. Is that not what we do sometimes? Now, think about, if you look back on your life, and I'm sure that you can probably think of some time in your life where you made a bad decision. Maybe I'm the only one. But try to, if you've never made a bad decision, just imagine what it would be like, okay? So think of a time when you made a bad decision and you reaped some negative consequences from it. Well, when you get to the end of that thing, if you walk it back and look at decisions that led you to where that ended up, you know what we find most of the time, if we're honest with ourselves about it? What do we find? We find that we stepped out, right? We stepped out from the protection of the Word of God. Now, is it possible for things to happen in our lives and we didn't do anything to propagate it? Yes, things do happen sometimes. But most of the time, when we get our lives all messed up and all turned around and all twisted up, it's not because something that we couldn't avoid got in our way. It's because we chose to step out. So I asked you guys to pray for my shoulder, right? So I got the results back, and they say that I've got a couple of torn tendons in it, and so I'm not allowed to lift anything over 10 pounds for the next couple months. But I got to thinking about this shoulder, and I was walking it back. I was like, when did I do this? And I can think back to when I did it. I did it during a training session, and I was in there's a rescue trainer that we use that belongs to Warrensburg Fire. No liability against you, Warrensburg Fire. I signed the form. Don't worry about it. But there's this confined space trainer, and you have to kind of weave your way through and get in it. And I remember distinctly that I got kind of stuck in a spot, and I kind of panicked. And instead of taking the time to fall back on my training, fall back on what I knew was right? See where I'm going with this? Instead of taking the time to fall back on what I knew was right, I panicked. And I made a bad decision, and I reached forward with this arm, and I tried to pull myself forward to get through this obstacle. Now, mind you, I'm almost 200 pounds, and the gear that we weigh with our air packs typically is another 70 pounds or so. So I was trying to drag 270 pounds that was stuck. Not a very wise decision, right? That's no different than what we do sometimes. We get in a situation, something happens in our lives, and we panic. We don't go back to the definitive truth. I didn't go back to my training. We don't go back to the Word of God. We don't go back to what we know is true and what we know is right, and we end up messing things up. There's safety in the clift of God's word. We need to stay in that clift. There's safety in the clift of the Spirit of God. Moving on. John 16, verse 13 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." See, the Spirit of God is a clift of protection, because when we follow the leading of the Spirit of God, he will lead us in truth. That's the only way he can lead us. Do you realize that? That if the Spirit of God is leading us, the way he's going to lead us is going to be a truthful way. But we need to be sensitive to that still small voice. I mean, how many times have you contemplated a thought or a word or a deed or whatever, and there's that little small voice that says, "Don't think that. Don't say that. Don't do that. Don't go there." And what happens when we don't listen to the Spirit's leading? We get to live with the regret of the consequences of not listening to the Spirit's leading. Over time, hopefully, we become more and more in tune to the Spirit of God, and we get more acclimated to immediately saying, "Okay, well, I hear that. I got you, Lord. Yes, sir, I will not say that. I will not do that. I will not go there." But too many times we kind of get in that panic mode, and we just blow past all the warning signs. Red flags are flying everywhere, just laser focused, because there's an emergency. There's a thing called tunnel vision. You ever heard of it? So it's particularly dangerous for first responders, because they'll be going down the road and the siren's going and they're just tunnel vision down the road, and they have this, and it's very dangerous because you don't see traffic coming in from the sides. So they're like, "Oh, there's an emergency. I got to get there. I got to do this. I got to do whatever." And they get that tunnel vision. We have to be careful not to get that tunnel vision. Because when we get that tunnel vision, you don't hear things. We don't hear we don't hear that tiny, still small voice of the Spirit of God saying, "Hey, don't do that." Or if you're driving a fire truck, "Hey, slow down." So there's safety in the salvation that we're afforded through Christ. There's safety in the Spirit of God that we are indwelt with when we're saved. And there's safety in the cleft of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." This is my first time using that clock. That thing is ominous. It's like tick, tick, tick. You guys are like, "Keep going. It's still ticking." 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." 1 John 5:13 through 15 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions. We have the petitions that we desire of him." Now, we don't have time to delve into the subject of prayer, but one of the most powerful aspects of prayer is when we incorporate praise into it and we rehearse back to God his own word, his own promises, his own truths. Does God need to be reminded of what he said? Praise the Lord, because if it was me, you'd have to remind me every day. I mean, half the time I can't even remember, you know, the simplest things. But God doesn't need reminded. But the thing that makes the clift of prayer so amazing when we incorporate praise into it and his word into it and we pray back the Psalms and different things like that is that as we're praying these things back to God and we're acknowledging who he is and what he is and all that he's done, that we're not doing it to remind him, but it reminds us. It reminds us of all the things that he's done and all the trials that he's gotten us through and all the late nights, all the sleepless nights that he's brought us through and the long days that he's brought us through. And so when we incorporate that we're reminded of those things. It's a powerful, powerful thing. I mean, we just underestimate it so much. And you know, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. Probably none of us here could say, you know, I have got my prayer life perfectly figured out. I couldn't pray a minute more to improve it. Probably none of us could say that. If you can, praise the Lord. But I know that I can improve. And we really, you know, we just sell ourselves short when we don't enjoy that sweet hour of prayer. We sing about it. You know, as I was writing this message, so many songs popped into my head. And of course, you know, I really like music, and so I'm constantly, you know, thinking about different songs and especially hymns that I'll see something and it'll spark something in my mind. But there's so many things that we sing about, but we don't live them out. You know what I mean? It's not really part of the message, but that's for free. We really need to live out what we sing. But when we take the time to render praise to God in prayer, thanking Him for His promises, for His provision, for His safety, it empowers us to face whatever may come our way that day. Amen? So we've seen the safety of the cliff of salvation. We've seen the cliff of safety in God's Word. We've seen the cliff of safety in the Spirit of God. And we've seen the cliff of safety in prayer. Now let's look at the dangers of the world. We've seen the necessity of the cliff, and we've seen the safety of the cliff. Now let's look at the dangers of the world. You know, anything. Another thing that I thought about as I was sitting there in that cliff of that rock, I was sitting there, and that was my view, the one on the right, your right. I was sitting there, and I was watching the rain fall. And, you know, I could see the rain. I could see the effect that it was having on the environment around it. But me, being sheltered in that cleft, was largely unaffected by it. Rain wasn't falling on my head. I was good to go. Why? Because I had taken shelter in the cleft of the rock. And as we live our life safely sheltered in God's protection, we are witness to a host of tragedies in the world that we live in. We see lives being destroyed by substance abuse. We see children taking their own lives in record numbers because of rampant depression. We see people's lives in shambles due to the effect of sin. And we call out from that cliff. We say, hey, come to the cliff. Come to the cliff. It's safe in here. It's dry in here. There's joy in here. There's peace in here. We call that out. But the call goes largely unanswered and unheeded. Why is that? Well, in short, the enemy is effective at what he does. And to be blunt about it, we, as God's people, are too often too apathetic in our pursuit of souls. Now, I'm not calling you out. I'm calling me out. Okay? We are just sometimes too apathetic in our pursuit. You see, we have a real enemy. And he's not apathetic in his pursuit of souls. 1 Peter 5:8 says what? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Does that sound like apathy to you? No, that is full on assault. And our enemy, he is out for a full on assault on all the souls of mankind. We need to be on that. We need to have that same level of passion towards those things. All this gender craziness, who do you think is its greatest supporter? The enemy. All the wholesale disregard for morality, for justice, and just plain right. Who's championed that cause? You got it. The same subtle serpent from the garden. See, he uses a false gospel to do it. Galatians 1:6, Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Well, what is that other gospel? Well, it's that gospel that says God just loves everybody. So he'd never send anybody to hell. It's that gospel. That false gospel is a gospel that says, well, just get baptized and you'll be fine. Or just do this sacrament or just do whatever and you'll be fine. You see, in the way that he goes about promoting that false gospel is twofold. He uses a corrupt word of God. Now, we're not going to get into the King James Version debate tonight, but the fact is that this book is unique. It's the authoritative translation for the English-speaking people. It doesn't need updated. It doesn't need revised. It doesn't need rewritten. It is the perfect, preserved Word of God. Another gospel is promoted by other versions because it's been so watered down that its efficacy to heal lost souls is all but have been removed. I mean, it's akin to watering down a cancer drug and wondering why it isn't working. Do you remember years ago there was a doctor that did that? I don't remember. It's been a long time ago. I didn't look it up. But there was a doctor that was watering down cancer drugs to make more money off of it. And people were wondering, why aren't these patients getting better? When we water down the Word of God, it loses its effect. But that is what the enemy wants to do. He uses a false gospel by using a corrupted Word of God, by using a misleading voice. Just as we have that still small voice that leads us in truth, there is a misleading voice that the enemy uses that seeks to keep man from reconciling with God. And it's that subtle voice that we're told about in Genesis 3, where it says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which God had made. That subtle voice can be heard in the entertainment of this world. It can be heard in the policies of the ungodly rulers of this world. It can be heard in the worldview that we're inundated with every day. And it can be heard echoing in the halls of our institutions of learning. This misleading voice is a dangerous thing. And yes, we live in a dangerous world that seeks to do us, our children, our families, our homes, and our nation spiritual, emotional, and physical harm. But fear not. While there is a danger in this world, we also have the protection of the Lord. So let's look at some things about this protection of the Lord, and we'll kind of bring this train into the station. The first thing about the protection of the Lord is a perfect protection. Now, Deuteronomy 32:4 says, He is the rock, His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. You know, as most of you guys know, you all know that I work in, probably most of you just think I work with computers or do something with IT. Well, what I do is I manage a team of cybersecurity professionals. And one of the principles in cybersecurity is that you can never completely eliminate all risk. You can only reduce it, right? And so that is a foundational principle within IT, is that you reduce the risk down to an acceptable level. But I tell you what, I am so glad that the protection that my Lord provides, that He's not limited like that. His protection is perfect. His firewall doesn't need patching. His firewall has no holes in it. And I'm so thankful that we have that perfect protection of God. The protection of God is a perfect protection, but it's also a promising protection. Romans 8, turn there, if you would, Romans 8. Romans 8, look in verse 35. It says this. It says, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, which is the pressures of life, or distress, which is calamity, or what you would call a narrow place, or persecution, which is being pursued by the enemy, we already talked about that guy, or famine, which is a dry spell or a lack of nourishment, or nakedness, which is being without the necessities of life, or peril, which is a state of extreme or continued danger or death. As it is written, verse 36, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Well, that doesn't sound very good, does it? But the next verse, verse 37, Nay, in all these things, up to and including death, mind you, if we look at the last verse, Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, which is an unwavering conviction, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let me give you a little laundry list here just quickly of some verses. Deuteronomy 4:31 says, "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." I am so thankful that his promises, that he keeps his promises, that he's a covenant keeper. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Joshua 1:5 says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was it with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." You see, the cleft of protection that we have with the Lord is a perfect protection. It's a promising protection, but it's also a portable protection. Now, some might say, as I mentioned earlier, well, you know, you talk about being in this cleft. We just can't go hide in a rock all day long, Brother Tim. I mean, we got things to do. If we're going to go reach the world, we can't just hang out in the rock all day long. And to that, I would say you're absolutely right. Amen. Here's the amazing thing about the cleft, the protection that we have in salvation, the protection that we have in God's word, in the Spirit of God and in prayer. We can take them with us. They're fully portable. Amen, right? Exodus 13, verse 21 says this, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people, the pillar of fire and clouds." His protection, his guidance was with them every step of the way. And as we already pointed out in many verses, that God has promised he isn't going to leave us. His protection is ever with us. It made me think of that song, "Take the Name of Jesus With You." I'll just read a little bit of it. "Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy when his loving arms receive us and his songs our tongues employ." You know, the one thing that I forgot to take on my walk that day, can anybody guess? My umbrella, which is why I had to go find a rock to go hide in. You know, there's a song that we sing from time to time, "Did You Think to Pray?" So it goes like this. I'm sure, I know you're familiar with it. "Ere you left this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? When you met with by his dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide and stay? When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way? When sore trials came upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day?" Too often, and I know we can't leave the house without the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. But we leave the house without considering, without preparing ourselves. And that would be a whole other message for another time. But we think about the armor of God, right? We're told to put that on before we get out into the battlefield. It's the same thing when we talk about staying in the cleft. We need to prepare every day. You know, we need to go out with the cleft of the Word of God. Safely tucked back in the cleft of the Word of God. Safely tucked back in the cleft of prayer. Acknowledging the promises of God and leaning on the leading of the Holy Spirit as we walk into our day. We've seen the necessity of the cleft, the dangers of the world, the safety of the cleft, and the protection of the Lord. You know, we're a fickle people, aren't we? We have all these things working on our favor. We have the salvation, the safety of salvation, the Word of God, the Spirit of God in prayer, yet many times we still fear. We have the perfect, promised, portable protection of the Lord, yet we leave it at home. Next time you encounter a trial, a challenge, or a problem, consider the cliffs. Seek one out. And remember to take the name of Jesus with you. One last thing. It wasn't really part of my message, but I thought about it as I was kind of standing there. If you look at this picture, you know, the world, they look at the cliff on the left. And they say, I'm not going in there. It's so restrictive. I mean, there's all these rules and there's all these things. Don't do this. Thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. I'm not going in that cliff. But there's peace in there. There's protection in there. And the view is great. Look at the view. It's a beautiful view. And we get to enjoy that view without being in the rain, without being in the chaos, without being in the turmoil. We can enjoy all the things that God has for us in this life safely tucked back in the cleft of the rock. Amen? So let's consider that the next time that you have a problem or you run into something in life, and maybe ask yourself, have I stepped out of the cleft? Am I trying to do this on my own? Amen? Hey, I have 36 seconds left. I did it, brother. All right, well, let's pray. If you'll please stand with me.